Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
That's 2.5.
So what in the world do you talk to people about for 2 hours, Dan?
Well, believe it or not, we do. Our podcast is quite a bit different than the average bear because we begin at the beginning. We ask, what are your earliest memories? What were your dreams when you were a kid? And then I follow the whole story. And as we take 10 minutes up front and talk a little about business, but the other hour and a half has very little to do with their current business most of the time. But we go deep into their story. And then as we get closer to current, we start talking about like practical lessons they've learned and things like that. So we give the story and the grounding with practicals. And the vast majority of my guests are stunned when the interview's over. Like, it was that long? I had no idea.
Wow. Well, this one's not going to be that long.
I got that.
Welcome to On the Edge, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. And brains, we got Dan McPherson right there, okay? I found him trolling the internet, and he is such an amazing man. He is the founder of Leaders Must Lead. That's his business. We're going to talk to him about that. But he's got one heck of a story about resilience and endurance and his life and being able to forge ahead and not let anything stop him. He's had some medical challenges, man. I tell you, it's going to fill a medical journal. So we're going to talk about that and the smile on his face and his wonderful family and what he's doing in the world right now. Help me welcome him to the Edge Brains, Dan McPherson. How you doing?
Woohoo! Oh, I'm doing fantastic, and I'm so grateful to be here. You were trolling on the internet. You found a troll. Here I am bringing it. I'm so happy. Thank you so much. Thank you for all the kind words. And one note that I love to make when we talk about stories is that everyone has a magnificent story.
Everybody has a story.
And I love that. That's one of my core beliefs. And I think the story is the only unique thing we have, and it's the most powerful thing we have in the world.
Well, I mean, it's our gift. It's our legacy, you know, but we are the watchers of our life. We are the seekers of truth. And so many people are stuck right now. You know, they have little to no bandwidth. They're not encouraged. They're not motivated. They are being sucked in by media, COVID, you know, a lack. I want you to talk to my brains a little bit about endurance and what you've been through in your life to give them encouragement, to let them know that it's not over till it's over.
Well, I'm a huge fan of the importance of light and life in the world. And one of my core beliefs is that life is 10% what happens and 90% how we respond. I've spent through most of my life time struggling with anxiety and depression. So I get that being stuck. I get that being lost. I get that feeling like you just don't know where to go or how you can grab the next thing. And I'm here to say that there is always light through the darkness. In fact, that's a foundation that I'm forming to help prevent suicide in the world, because I believe that it has a core so much. And my journey, it really is of resilience. I claim resilience as my third greatest gift, and maybe the most important of the three in its own way, because without that willingness to run to the next failure, to stand up and go again, then you don't get where you have to go. When I was younger, I would say the first resilience came when I was very little. I have memories back to 6 months old, which is one of many ways that I am a freak. And I was having eye surgery when I was 6 months old, and I had to learn how to see again. And I remember this. I remember what my eye doctor said to me. I remember the layout of the room and all the crazy things. But I also remember the first time I got glasses and the first time that I had eye surgery and had to come back from that. At 2 years old, I was hidden from my father for 6 years. And taken into, unfortunately, a more abusive situation with an unpleasant guy that led to lots of trauma and difficulty. We came back from that, and my mother and I lived in poverty, and poverty like I don't typically see in the US, and I don't claim it as unique, but it was unique to my story. It was unique to the ones that I was around. My mother was selling herself so that we had rent, and we didn't really have food to eat, and I was bullied a lot, and it was just crazy. And then she got remarried. I was exposed to violence, drugs, all sorts of craziness. And I zip through that, not because I'm not willing to dive in, I am, but because it ends with the point of resilience. And the point of resilience came when I was 16. And when I was 16, I got to a spot where so many get, where I felt unseen. I felt unheard. I felt lost. I felt like, what in the hell is the purpose of all this? Like, why am I even doing whatever it is that I'm doing? And where will I go, and will it even matter? And that was the point at which I survived my first suicide attempt. And I came out of that, and I'm thankful that I did. And a lot of it is many thanks to a friend who had a conversation with me that they didn't know they saved my life until 20 years later, but they did. But I came out of that, and I knew two things. And these are two that I love to give to everybody. One is that your environment, whatever you're in, whether it's COVID, whether it's growing up in a tough way, whatever it may be, that may have influence, but it's your choices that create change. And the second is that I was meant to do something that mattered. I just had no idea what it was, and I wish it came with an instruction manual.
So you overcome all that, and then you came into your own. Got your family, you're married. Bring us up to speed. Where are you at now?
Yeah, so I went through 25 years of a corporate career. I did sales, became very good at it. Went the typical corporate route, if there is such a thing, you know, where I was getting promoted and I was doing all the things. I was starting to make more money, and then I made more money than I ever thought I would. I had a family that I probably wasn't dealing with as well as I could have early on. And in the end, I was just unhappy. I still felt lost. I felt like I hadn't found that thing to do. I was trying to learn and trying to get better. And I got to a spot where 6 years ago, I'd found some happiness. I'd started rebuilding my life, but I knew that I had to do something different. And so when my bosses flew in and offered me my third promotion in 5 years, I sat back, I looked at them. I said, what would it look like if I declined? I walked away for more money than I could have ever made in my life and jumped off the cliff and started my company, Leaders Must Lead. And I did it both because I knew I needed to do what I was meant to do in the world. Not that I really understood that fully at the time, but also because I can't look and say I didn't try. I didn't make the move. I didn't take the step.
And you have to do that. You have to, you know, press the pause button, and you have to look at where you've been and where you want to go.
Yeah.
Am I happy? What does happiness look like? Am I going to keep chasing that happiness high? Am I going to be content? What do I owe myself? What do I owe my family? You have to ask yourself all of these questions, because that's a part of your story, brains. That's a part of your journey. So you've had some health challenges that have really pumped the brakes. Share that with my brains.
So a year ago, I had my July 12th or 11th, I had my very first heart attack. Now, I wish I could say it was my last. It was not. I've dealt with a number of health challenges throughout my life. Most of them, in retrospect, have been pretty minor, though they didn't feel like that at the time. But when I woke up and had a heart attack, that was pretty crazy. What made it more crazy for the beginning of my heart journey is that this was exactly the same age that my mother was when she passed of, you got it, a heart attack. And by exactly, for 21 years, I had been dreading a particular month in my life. It was the month I became older than my mother ever was. And that was the exact month. So within 2 weeks of being as older than she ever was, I was on the operating table, and I was facing the exact same thing that she did. And fortunately, I lived through that. And come to find out a few months later, when I had another heart attack, we discovered that I have a genetic defect that is from her, that is the exact same curve she had in her artery that killed her, that thankfully technology and being around an amazing hospital and all of those things gave me an opportunity to continue living and filling the mission I have in the world to inspire true generational change.
Wow. And then you're, you know, again, at 6 months, you had eye surgery.
Right. So at 6 months, I had eye surgery. Then, and I've had now in the last year, I have had 4 hospitalizations, 3 heart procedures, more major heart stuff still to come, because it, as they've told me, they are reducing the pain, but the only way to solve the problem is with a very risky surgery. So we're looking at different alternatives now. And through all of it, I have to tell you, I've had moments of real fear. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, if you say you don't, I don't know what super person you are, but I have, and I've shared my story pretty publicly. But the other thing that I've felt is remarkable gratitude. Just gratitude and understanding that on our darkest day and our darkest hour, no matter how bad it seems, objectively, 90% of the things in our life are good. And I thought that laying on the operating table, and I think that now, I believe it to be true. And you combine that with what I said earlier about how we respond to things is everything. And that's what builds the resilience. That's what gives it to you, is that ability to get to an objective point, even slightly objective, and see that the light is far brighter than the darkness.
Absolutely. And you know what? You cannot appreciate the light until you've been through the dark.
That's right.
So you've done a lot in your career, and so now you have established this great company, Leaders Must Lead. I'm a leader. I'm signing up.
That's right.
But I could not be a good leader if I was never a good follower. And there's a lot of people that don't want to follow. Oh, they want to be at the head of the line all the time. Well, sometimes you don't know what your destiny is. There's always been someone before you, and there'll always be someone after you chasing your tail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I appreciate that. You know, I look at my mentors, but I'm a kind of person, if I have a mentor, I want to outgrow my mentor. I want new experiences. I want new challenges. You know, I tell people all the time, everybody wants to be a coach. Well, baby, you can't be a coach if you're still sitting on the bench. You know, really, or you're a rookie, or you're a disgruntled employee. Now you think that you're the subject matter expert, that you can hold someone else's life in the palm of your hands and delegate and dictate what you want them to do, instead of being a listener and a watcher and a facilitator, because that is what a coach is. They help you navigate through the troubled waters. They help you, you know, find your way to the shore. They're your compass, okay? But they are not your light. You are your own light. Tell me a little bit about your organization and Leaders Must Lead. What is your philosophy on that?
Well, first, I have to say, I completely agree with you that to be an incredible leader, you must be an incredible follower. And so many rebel against that idea. And I'll just say it straight. They're wrong, right? If you are not a good follower, then you're also not a learner. And leaders are learners. And leaders are people who are seeking growth. So my philosophy of leadership and bridging that into the company, but my philosophy of leadership is that leadership isn't just a cornerstone skill. It is the keystone. That leadership is the thing. If you have that and you understand it properly and connect it into your life, that all of the other skills are going to flower out from that. And when I think of leadership, I think of it as 4 pillars. This is what we use in our online learning platform. The first is personal growth, because the hardest person to lead is us. So if we're not growing, it's really hard to lead other people. The second is attitude. Once I lead myself, now how do I view the world? The third is connection. Once I view the world, how do I relate to it? And then finally comes team. How do I proactive? How do I really interactively deal with a team in the right way? And my number one core belief in the world is that people matter most and relationships are everything. And so if you focus on that, you end up in a good place. And for my business, it has flowered into one-on-one coaching, an online learning platform called Foundations of Success, where we help give people those foundational skills, sales, leadership, communication, time effectiveness, strategy, things like that, that they need to be truly successful in the world. Think of it like most coaching programs, or many coaching programs today, and even many of people's goals are like putting the roof on a house. But if you put the roof, this beautiful roof, on a house with walls made out of tissue paper, it just falls to the ground. Absolutely. My goal is to build the walls and to make them super strong for you and to help. There's a quote that I like. We don't rise to the level of our hopes. We fall to the level of our training. My goal is to make it to where you don't fall back. Your training is solid enough to where you get there.
Well, I'm here to blow the roof off the sucker.
Oh, you do. You do. You're like roof? What are you talking about?
But I'm about impact. You know, you hear people, oh, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. Busy doing what? You ain't did a damn thing. You have not influenced. You have not changed. You have not mentored. You've not molded. You've not created. You haven't even lost. Because there's a lot in loss. You know, the things that hurt us the most are truly our best teachers. And everybody wants this big $25 word, entrepreneur. Dan, you know, this is the toughest job in the world. You are on the grind 24/7. You're trying to build the business. You're trying to find leads. You're trying to cultivate those leads. Then once you get in there, you got to build the relationship. Then you got to, you know, sell to value. Then you got to get paid.
Crazy how that works, isn't it?
And, you know, it's an endless cycle.
You got to put the coal in the engine.
Right. And so many people say, oh, you know, well, I want freedom and flexibility. Well, good luck with that. Okay, myself a lunch break. I've done it. I was just getting off kilter, and I said, you know what? I'm working 10 to 7. That's what I'm working, and I can touch anybody in the world between 10 and 7. I'm scheduling myself a lunch break. I get up, I go to a different part of the house. I sit down, I have lunch, I enjoy my food, I slow down. Sometimes I even take a power nap, and then I come back and I'm right back at it again. I schedule it, you know, days off. I had to do that. I was going crazy.
But you weren't doing it at first, were you? Those are lessons learned right there.
Those are lessons learned. And, you know, Mr. Magnificent was saying, you know what, baby, you got everybody on the schedule but me. And when he said that, I was like, whoa, off the brakes. Absolutely. So let's talk about marriage and family and life. So, you know, your wife is, I'm sure, really kind of, you know, on an emotional roller coaster with all of these things that you've been going through and what you have yet to go through. You know, how are you finding life balance and still being good to your woman?
Well, I would say that when I was working in a corporate world, I had no balance and I was a mess. I was 80, 90 hours a week with no respect for when I needed to be home or what I needed to do. When I started as an entrepreneur, that $25 word that you said, I had pie in the sky eyes. And I looked and thought, like you said, oh, well, it's all the freedom. It's all the things. I got all the time in the world. And it's amazing. I tell a lot of my clients that when you leave your job, you think you're going to suddenly have a bunch of time, but it gets filled up about 1,000 times over and you have no idea what's there. For me to carve things out is a matter of understanding my priorities and my core values. I watch a movie or I actually have on my calendar 2 hours of time with my son every night. And I spend that time in addition to whatever else we may spend together. And I made that commitment a number of years ago when we started martial arts together. And even when I would fly out of town, I always made it back for martial arts classes. But now I spend that time with him. I make sure that I'm there. Now that as I'm working from my office here at home, when I'm in town, I will grill lunch and my son and I will have lunch together. And then we'll eat dinner together as a family a lot. And I make sure that those are clear times. The other thing that I do during those times is I have taught my team and I've taught my clients, like I'm not available during those times. So there is no phone during those times, which I can tell you is not the way it was for most of my life.
Right. And I had to shut it down. I really had to shut it down. And when I shut it down, I realized how much better I feel. Again, just slowing down eating. I'm with a group now. I'm with a weight loss challenge. Never did this before. And it's so fun. But just immersing myself, getting my circadian rhythm back as far as getting my sleep.
Right. Sleep is so important. I was a sleep warrior.
So important.
I was a sleep warrior. In college, I slept 3 hours a night. After that, for 15 years or 20 years, I slept 4.5 hours a night. I did a really cool little test when I first jumped out and did my business. I said, maybe these people know what they're talking about. I'll let my body recover. I let my body sleep as much as it wanted for a month. And then when I came back, I came back and looked at it and I said, what does my body want? It wanted to be in bed for 7.5 hours a night. Now, that's 3 hours more. That's 21 more hours a week. But here's the crazy thing. I was now getting done in 40 hours what I was getting done in 70 before. I gained 9 hours by being in bed for 21 more.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about loss. I lost my mother a few months ago. And to me, I tell people all the time, I'm bent, but I'm not broken.
Yeah.
We're very, very close. And, you know, loss is a part of the process. Grieving is a part of the process. Be it grieving of an animal, your job, your relationship, your health, a loved one. What would you say to a person that's in a grieving space right now?
I deal with that a lot. And I've been, I guess, in some ways I'll say fortunate, but it's also been hard to be through a lot of grief myself with my mother, my mother-in-law, my stepmother. So a lot of personal loss, but also I've lost more than 100 people that I know to suicide. And so I've dealt with a lot of grief. And what I would say is that the first thing I'll say is what I said before. There is light through the darkness, that it's okay to feel the pain. You don't have to, and probably shouldn't. I'm not a psychologist. I don't play one on TV, but you probably shouldn't tamp it down.
Yeah, people say that all the time. I'm going to have to pick that up. I'm not a psychologist and I don't play one on TV. I hear two or three people have said that. That's
pretty cool. But I think it's, in my observation, it's not good to like just tamp it down and not be there, but it's also not great to live in it. To get lost in it, right? And for me, that relationships are everything piece is key, that I try to move through things with an eagerness rather than an impatience. And I think this applies a little bit to grief as well. When I was younger and I would hit grief, I would have two responses. My first response would be to kind of get lost in it and like really just get absorbed by it and overwhelmed by it. And then the second would be once I, in my mind, should be done with it, I got very impatient about it. And I've discovered since that impatience is really inward and downward. And impatience is about a destination. Impatience is about I deserve and I should have an entitlement. Whereas eagerness is about upward and outward. Eagerness is about movement rather than destination. It's about progress. It's about learning and earning. And I look at grief in my life at this point as an opportunity to learn about myself, to earn those movements forward, and to take that, and also to treasure, to figure out how it is that I'm going to treasure that person after they're gone. Because that's the part that I never really figure out before I've lost them. I know how I treasure them when they're there, but I don't know how I'll treasure them when they're gone. And once they've found that spot in my life of, okay, this is how I'll treasure them, I seem to find peace.
Right. And I, you know, I thank God for memories, for photographs, for music, for conversations, because that keeps that person, if it's a person, alive. It's like my dog. Cotton picking coyotes jumped over the fence, kidnapped him, and ate him.
Oh.
And he didn't deserve that. He no. Really didn't. After 13 years, that was my dude. And I have an animal communicator on the show. And so she said, even before we started talking about it, she said, I can feel your grief. She said, but I want to let you know that dog is God spelled backwards. And all dogs go to heaven. Mm. And don't worry, he has been well received. And I still grieve him. I've got a picture of him on my desk.
Yep.
But in my heart, I know that there is comfort in the memories that we had. All the puppy chinos we had at the Starbucks and the walks in the park. That's one form of grief. Financially, I have seen people that have been devastated, that have really wanted to take their life because of, quote unquote, the almighty dollar.
Right.
So there is a loss. There's a grieving there. I had a person that was even grieving because she lost 100 pounds because she didn't realize who that person was that resurfaced after she had lost that. So grief comes in many shapes, forms, and sizes.
So but much.
On a beautiful note, I had a guest yesterday that gave me two mantras, and I'd like to share them in this interview. The first one is learn how to say, how can it get any better than this? So at the end of a success, great phone call, great podcast, great lunch deal, you know, even seeing a good movie, How can it get any better than this? And the other one is, what else is possible? Asking that in a curious tone instead of, oh my God, what's going to happen now? Oh my God.
Right.
You know, you're downtrodden. But ask with enthusiasm, what else is possible? So those are my two mantras.
I love that.
With you, and I want to leave with our audience here on the Edge. Dan, thank you for coming and sharing your philosophy, your work ethic, and really what it takes to be a strong leader here on the Edge. It's so much going on in the world right now, and you know, we can lean on one another, absolutely, because you want to build strong walls and I want to blow the roof off the sucker.
Boom. I love it. Thank you so much for having me here. And my encouragement to everyone is that no matter where you are, no matter what you do, no matter what you've been through, there is always light through the darkness and dreams are always real.
Yes, they are. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you. I'd love for them to follow you, listen to you, and you know, really kind of get involved because you go deep.
I appreciate that. I would love, love, love to connect with them. I host a group on Facebook called the Dreams Are Real Community, which also synchronizes with our podcast, and I encourage people to join me there. And you can message me on any social platform at either Dan McPherson or Leaders Must Lead. And I love to connect. As I said, people matter most. So I love meeting new people.
Well, people are what move the machine. Thank you so much for being here on the Edge. Brains, new ones and old ones, I need you to go. You know where you need to go? To one of these places right here. Let me put this up in your face so you can see where you can go. I want you to subscribe. I want you to love. I want you to like. I want you to share this information, this encouragement, this motivation. We want to stimulate your brain. We want you to be happy. We want you to be healthy in any space that you are. Know, like Dan said, that there is light through the darkness. Have a good day, Dan. Thanks so much for being here on the Edge. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. My brains.